Hey.
Hello, hello.
What's new?
Not too much. It's been a little while.
It has. Where have we been?
I don't know.
Can we just call it a hiatus?
Yeah.
And
no
we're back.
Excuses. We just
kids and life.
Drop the ball.
Get to us sometimes.
Yeah.
We went camping.
We did.
We did. That was fun.
It was so much fun.
It did rain a lot.
It did. We named it rain camping the whole time.
Yes. Like, the weather kept changing. Like, it kept saying, like, oh, it's going to be stormy. And then it's like, no, it's going to be fine. So I went into it thinking, oh, there's a slight chance it'll rain. But
right.
It was a lot of rain.
It was a lot of rain, yeah.
And like, thunder and lightning.
Yeah, like
and
a huge storm.
Yeah, but I mean, the kids still had a blast.
We still had a blast. We made it work.
We did. Yes, we did.
Like, the day we were heading up there, I think it was a Friday, it was so hot, like sunny,
oh
hot.
Oh my goodness,
we were
yes.
Setting up camp and we were like sweating. We're like, oh my gosh,
exactly.
There's no
like,
way
there's,
that, it's,
yep.
that it's gonna rain. Or if it rains, it's just gonna be like a light little sprinkle.
Yep, that was my same thought process.
Yeah.
It was like, it's way too hot. There's no way we could have like some crazy thunderstorm roll through in a few hours.
Right.
But
and
it did.
Husbands are continually checking their weather apps and
yes.
being
I think
wrong
it was your husband
time.
That kept saying like, oh, we're totally good. It's past us. And he's
yeah.
like, oh, wait, I was
oh,
looking
wait.
Somewhere else.
I wasn't watching. Yeah, we kept getting very incorrect weather
yep.
reports.
So, but I don't think any of them were even correct anyways.
No, they
so.
Weren't. It started, like, raining right away.
Yep. But we survived.
We did.
And my son would not have let me live it down if I did not take him camping for his birthday again.
Yes.
So, it worked out.
It was really fun. We had an interesting experience in the middle of the night while we were camping.
Oh my goodness, I forgot about this. Yes, we did.
So it's the middle of the night and we have some neighbors that are kind of
and
loud.
I love that you were there because my husband like thinks I'm crazy half the time. Like
mm-hmm.
if I hear a sound at night because he sleeps through everything and I wake up to everything. So the fact that you guys heard the sound too made me feel
yes.
so validated.
Yes, so we're in our tent and my husband has been camping and hunting like his whole life. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like he pretty much, you know, he's always able to tell me, oh, this is that. Like I just like know he's gonna know what it
right.
is. And I hear the craziest noise in the middle of the night.
I think you should try to imitate it.
No, I can't imitate it. And I'm just like,
and it
that,
was
that's a new one.
Multiple
sound
multiple times, and it was literally like feet
it
from
was
my
behind
tent.
Your tent.
Yes.
Like, it was coming from the direction of your tent. Yeah.
And, like, my first thought was, like, there's some loud neighbors. I was like, are they just, like, trying to
yeah, we,
like,
and that's
scare
what
us?
My first thought was, like, okay, like, I can hear the neighbors are still awake. Like, they must just be making noises or
but
being
it was a
crazy.
Really intense sound that I was like, no. Like,
yeah.
that sounds like something is – and it was, like – multiple because you could hear it coming from different
yeah,
spots.
Yeah, there was like answering calls around, like the one close
I don't
to
even
us would
know.
Go, and then around us it would echo. And so then I'm like, that can't be people. That's super weird. Like that people
it,
are just all around us,
right?
The
and
noise.
It was like my first thought was like, it did have like a little bit of a hoot sound, but it was so
yeah.
like yippy that I was like, was that like some
right.
type of like a coyote or
yes.
something?
I turned to my husband. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, if you don't know, it must be something
it's
crazy.
It's Sasquatch or something.
Yeah,
I know.
It must be something crazy. But I agree. Like, my first thought was like, okay, owlish. Like,
yeah.
But then,
but
I
then
like,
it was such
no.
a strange, like, it was the craziest sound that I was like, no, there's no owl that makes that sound. Like, that is something else.
Yeah.
But your husband cracked the code.
Yeah. So the next morning, we're like, did you hear that? You know.
And it happened the next night, too.
Yes. We heard it again. I mean, I didn't hear it the second night. I was very much asleep. But the funny thing is, your husband didn't hear anything.
No,
he
just
night,
sleeps
right
through everything.
Yeah. But luckily, we could corroborate
yes,
story.
Yes. I was so glad. I was like, see,
yes.
I'm not crazy.
But I immediately, you know, being the homeschool mom that I am, I immediately check my bird app and I like
mm-hmm.
listen to all of the noises.
Right.
Of the birds, the owls that are around us, and I'm not coming up with anything. And then we
how
just
did
couldn't
he
let
even
it go.
Find that?
I don't know, but he finally discovered the sound and then he played it for us and we were
I was like,
yes,
yes,
that's
that
it.
Is it.
And it turns out it was a barred owl.
Barred owl.
Which
so if you have not heard a barred owl sound, you should listen to it because it is crazy and
it
does
is.
Not sound like a classic owl sound.
No, and it's crazy because we also didn't realize that owls, like, talked to each other.
Apparently there was, like, a whole crew
birds,
of
yeah.
them. I don't know, but it was...
What do you call, like, a group of owls? I don't even know.
I don't know, but it was insane.
Yeah, so that was a fun experience.
Right?
So what do you think you learned about rain camping, other than we don't really want to camp in the rain anymore?
Right. So I only, like, have, like, one distinct memory of when we were kids and getting flooded in the rain and just being like, this is the worst ever. I just remember it was, like, coming in the tent and we were just getting flooded and there was, like, puddles in our tent and it was cold.
Yeah.
So it was not that atrocious.
No. Tents, like, are better made.
I think.
Our tents didn't leak.
I think we didn't have a rain fly growing up on ours or something. But, so I think that I brought, because I was thinking we were going to be able to go and play, like, in the river and stuff that was nearby. So I brought only sandals and then my sneakers, and I walked around with wet feet for, like, 2 days. So I think even if you don't know for sure, you should always have a pair of waterproof shoes. Like, I should have brought my hiking boots, or something. Boots.
Totally.
And all of our, like, tarps that we strung up.
Yeah, we put a tarp over the fire, like, strung that up. And that was really helpful because we were able to keep our fire going the whole time.
This is true.
And then you guys had a canopy that we put over the picnic table. So we still were able to, like,
it was livable.
Eat and play games. Yeah, it wasn't ideal, but the kids honestly still had a blast.
They, like, did.
The adults were a little less than comfortable, but
it was cold and wet, but
yeah.
It was fine. What do you think? Is there anything that, like, you remember sticking out? I just feel like
once we put those ring flies up. Extra clothes and, like, waterproof layers.
Yeah.
Honestly,
our two ended up just, like, trying to catch all the water that had been dripping off of the rain flies. And they just come over and they look like they had jumped into, like, a pool of water.
Yeah. And we were not very well prepared on, like, extra layers. So.
Right. So extra clothes.
Extra clothes.
Waterproof shoes, lots of rain flies or some type of awning covering.
Yeah, we strung a tarp over the hammock so they were still able to, like, play in the hammock. So that was pretty fun for them. But, yeah.
That's really it. And then just hope that it ends.
Yeah, I was surprised that there were so many people. I mean, we don't usually camp in campgrounds like this.
Yeah.
We usually do state parks, which are so nice.
They've been closed. So this is like,
this was, like, the one campground in the area that was open.
We don't think I will go back there.
No, it was very busy. And I'm sure it was, like, probably just that busy.
Everybody wanted to get out. Yeah. Luckily, our state parks are now open.
Yes.
So we can go back. Yes.
Back there.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, paved roads, which I think is, like, I mean, especially in a place, like, where it gets rainy. But, like, even if it's dry, like, they're dusty, the dirt roads. And we always like to bring, like, bikes or skateboards or something to walk around and ride around on. So we couldn't really do any of that with the dirt roads.
Right. This was like a private state park, I guess. Is that like what you would call it? What is that?
No, it was just like a privately owned campground. But they have permanent residents, so that's why they were able to avoid the quarantine.
So it's like all of the, like, good camp spots were, like, reserved. And so then you kind of were left with just, like, slim pickings, and it's not one I would do again, that's for sure.
No,
I
think the state parks are just, like, the quiet times. So
no,
people were
up all
night.
Yeah, I think I realize now why state parks are so great.
That's my favorite.
Yeah,
they're just very well taken care of here.
Exactly. So,
but we made it through. Yep. And we'll be camping all summer long now.
Amen. So today we're talking about history
and geography.
Yes.
So what are you guys doing?
So we got a set of books from Beautiful Feet a while ago now, but we're slowly working through them. We did not, like, stay on pace with how quickly, like, she kind of outlines it. So my kids were really young when we first started, so they didn't have as much of, like, an attention span for it. So we started with just little tiny bits at a time.
Yeah.
They love them now. We can kind of cruise through them. But we started with early American history.
Okay.
So, like, with Leif the Lucky First and Columbus and Pocahontas and stuff like that, which her books are beautiful. They have pictures in them, and my kids love them. So that's kind of what we do. So then I just kind of will go through the books and kind of, like, find some different things that we can use to kind of like apply it later. So like,
yeah.
So like with Pocahontas, they drew pictures of her, and then we did like a headdress, and then like with the feathers, they added like different things they learned about her throughout each, you know, chapter or a few pages we would read, and we added it to her headdress. So then at the end, they had this picture of her that they drew with like a headdress of all these like cool facts that they learned about her.
Cool.
Yeah. So then we did for Columbus. We focused more on, like, the native people and their types of homes and did stuff, like, with that. Like, they made them out of clay and things like that. Was kind of what we focused on for Columbus. And Lathe the Lucky was one of their favorites. We did a bunch of... They drew a bunch of pictures, and I printed some different stuff out for them to color in to make... little puppets for the different characters of Lathe the Lucky. And they just did like a puppet show after. And then we did Jamestown.
And you built the town, right?
Yes,
I remember seeing this, yes.
So we just did like those like little three-dimensional paper cutouts you can do. So you like cut them out, and then I just would, it was a great thing for them to be doing with their hands while I was reading.
Right.
So they could like color in a different house. While I was reading, and then by the end we had, like you can find like on Pinterest and online and stuff, different like layouts of what Jamestown looked like and like the different buildings that were in there and where they were positioned. So with that and like some Play-Doh, they were able to kind of make like a diorama of where everything was. So
that's cool.
That's kind of what we've done with all of them is just kind of
make your own extension activities.
Right. And it's my favorite when we can find something that they can be, like, working on while I'm reading, because...
It's good to keep your hands
busy. Yeah, they like to be doing things while I'm reading. Yeah. Anyways, so that works best for us when it comes to history.
That's really cool.
And then there's a lot of things, like, within the history books that, like, I've found that you can kind of, like, weave in different parts of geography, too, which I've tried to do when I actually remember, and I'm... on top of it.
Well, that's how I feel. Like, it seems kind of silly sometimes to separate the two because they're intertwined. Like,
right,
you know.
Totally. So, like, different things, like, we can look on the map as to where, like, these different things were taking place.
Right.
And kind of, like, look at the different routes that were taken and things like that. So, that's kind of what we do for the most part for history. What do you do?
Well, we've kind of been following roughly, like, splitting it. I think a lot of curriculums do this, and we don't use a set curriculum, but I think we've taken a lot of ideas from other curriculums where you take, like, the ancient history, and then you do, like, medieval slash Renaissance.
If I could have done mine over, I wish I would have done, like, all the way back from, like, ancient all
times,
the way through. Yeah.
There's just so many mixed feelings about it, and I've read so many articles, like, that I was just like, what do I start with, like, what's current? Like,
right.
Kind of like how you did, because it's something I feel like they can, like, I don't know, like, going all the way back to ancient times just seems, like, so different from our world. Like,
right.
Are they even grasping that concept at
right.
a young age? So I went back and forth on it a lot. So
how
a lot
did
of people,
you make your decision then?
I don't know. I just finally was like, okay, we're just going, starting with ancient times. I was kind of thinking most about... like Egypt and like all the fun stuff that can go along with that, and thinking like it's something he would really enjoy at his
right.
young age. So we did ancient history, like, I guess last year and maybe a little bit the year before. I think we've taken more than a year to cover the different time periods, but I think that's what made my decision. Was I was just thinking like, oh, he's really gonna get a kick out of Egypt and mummies and all that. And it actually, like, worked out perfectly because OMSI, our museum, at the time that we were studying it, they actually had, like, the Egypt. I don't remember the name of it, but they had, like, a room about Egypt.
So long since we've been to OMSI.
I know. This was even, like, 2 years ago, maybe.
Really?
A year and a half. And we got to go through their replica of ancient Egypt. So they had, like... mummies, and it was a really cool experience.
Awesome.
So if I could, like, have a perfect world, I would like to, like, have different things where we can experience history. Like, I've heard some really cool ideas where people will do, like, set up archaeological digs and things for, like, finding pottery from ancient times and things like that. So I just feel like if you can make, and, like, just how you're doing it, too, if you can make a hands-on activity for it, then they'll really, like, remember it.
That's
more immersive.
How we've done it. I just feel like if there's something that they're doing that's, you know, with their hands, that kind of goes along with it, it sticks a little bit better.
Yeah, I think, like, books are great, but it's also, like, really cool when you can experience it.
Right.
So this year we have been, well, and I guess part of last year, we're now moving on to Middle Ages. And so I think that we'll follow this, like, roughly every 4 years, then we'll, like, you know, start over. So it's, like, ancient, Middle Ages, then it's, like, Renaissance, and then it's, like, more modern times. So I think there's, like, four years we'll cover those basic time periods. So we're on Middle Ages right now, which is a fun one, too.
Yeah.
But something that's really important to me in, like, preparing for it is, like, if we're talking about the Middle Ages, like, there's so much information on, like, Europe and what was going on at that time. Like, we all know about castles and knights and what the Europeans were doing, but there's not a lot about any other cultures that we find.
Yeah.
So it's been really important to me to do a lot of research and just find, like, books and things like that on other cultures, like what they were doing at that time too. So we were able to find some good books of, like, what was going on in Africa at the time, and China, and they didn't even call it China then, but and, like, what was going on in the Middle East, like, with their Crusades. And as far as something like the Crusades goes, like, we kind of tend to, a lot of history books tend to cover it, like, from the point of view of the Europeans, like, and I am just trying to, like, show all sides. So we read this really great book on, I think his name is pronounced Saladin, but he was the ruler in, like, Jerusalem at that time. So it kind of tells it from his point of view, like,
that,
all these people coming
over. I feel like
over.
It's important, too, because then they're getting it from all the different points of view, which can draw a much more full picture, too.
Yeah, because history is tricky. Like, you don't really want to say, like, this, you know, these people were right, these people were wrong. I mean, none of us were there. Like, we don't really know exactly what happened or all the reasons behind it. And so I just feel like we can learn so much from history, but we just have to be, like, really careful about, like, not, you know, not telling them what to think about it. I don't know. I just like to kind of lay it out and then he can form his own opinions about what's important to learn from these people who lived so long ago.
Yeah, I ran into that with the whole, when we started reading Columbus.
That's so tricky too.
Just feel like it was really important to show, you know, the Native people's side of the story too. When, because, like, when I was growing up, I don't really even remember a ton being said
Columbus
or talked about.
Just
it was
so just, idolized.
Yes.
When we,
so that was
school,
important
which,
to me too.
Is that someone we should be?
I have different thoughts than I, I did.
It's different now when you're looking back. So yeah, I just think, I think a lot of companies that do curriculum, they're coming around. And there's, I think that it's called Whole Story History. I don't know too much about it. I have the book list and there's some great books, but it's a take that's kind of like what I'm after, where it's showing all different cultures of history instead of just focusing on the European history. So I think people are coming around to the idea and they're, you know, like us, like, questioning, like, wait, is this the side of history we want to dwell on, or do we want to see other people's stories here?
Definitely.
So that's kind of what I've been trying to do for history. And again, like with every other subject, books are kind of our spine. That's what we go to. And we've found this really great book called A Child's History of the World. It's by Virgil Hillier. And it's shorter chapters. I think they're, like, usually 2 to 3 pages. It's not a picture book, but it's really told on a child's level, just different stories from history. And so that's kind of helped me just know, okay, like, now we're going to talk about, you know, the Crusades. So I'll go into the library and find a bunch of books, like, on the Crusades or things like that. So it just kind of gives me an idea of different points in history to kind of, like, go off from.
Right.
So that one's been really helpful.
So we have found some other great books too to kind of supplement. But we really like A Child Through Time. It's by Phil Wilkinson, and it shows kids from that time period, like what they would be doing for chores, like what their names would be, a lot of different things about like what their lives would be like. So that's pretty cool. We've really enjoyed that one, to just see things of that time through a child's perspective.
Like anytime it's, you can find a good book that like can show from a child's perspective, my kids are tuned in 10 times more.
Yes, exactly. Like finding out about what the adults were up to is just not as exciting to them.
Yep.
So we also have like the David McCullough books. I think that's the name of them. But there's Castle and Cathedral, and it shows the drawings are just really cool. They're black and white, but they show how castles were built, how cathedrals were built, and like what the different parts of them are. And I didn't expect like him to be that interested in it, but he's really, really liked it. And it's very thorough, and it shows like the castle being built and then the village around it, like what the builders would be using to build. They're very thorough, but we've really enjoyed those books as well. And then we haven't been as good about it in the Middle Ages. I'm still kind of like, I really wanted to go to medieval times when we were in California.
I'm excited for that too.
Yeah. But there hasn't, I mean, we were going to try to do a Renaissance fair
this summer,
but they're all closed. Yeah, because of the coronavirus. So we're trying to find ways to kind of like bring it home in a more real way. But like for ancient times, we did a huge thing on Vikings. There was this amazing book where we found a bunch of activities like you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Like we made Viking boats and Viking shields and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a ton of stuff with mummies. So we're still trying to find a way to make the medieval times come alive, but we've so far been really enjoying it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So what about geography?
There's one other one that I forgot to say for history is there's these books called like the I Am books. Have you seen these?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not always tied to where we are like in early American history. But, like, we've done, like, I Am Rosa Parks and I Am Sacagawea and stuff like that. And my kids love them. And the books are so well done because they're from, like, I mean, they got great illustrations. And they also, like, have some photographs in the back of, like, the real people. So I've loved adding those in and kind of, like, looping through them.
Yeah.
So those are another one that we've really liked to do, too.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's something that we've liked to do in history is just pull out a few people from history that we can like learn more about. So those books are a great way to do that.
I want to get the whole collection because I love them.
Yeah, those are good.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do for geography?
Well, like you said, we try to kind of, I mean, it definitely goes hand in hand with history. So we have like looked up different places as we're learning about people just to kind of like get a feel for where they are.
I feel like history and geography go hand in hand really well.
They really do. I think of so many subjects.
Mm-hmm.
They do. We have a subscription to Letters from Afar.
Yes, we've been on the receiving end of your letters.
Yes, we've been passing those along once we're finished.
Yes.
So it's pretty simple. There's not like much to it, but he loves going to the mailbox and finding one. And then they're just from a little excerpt of like what this girl's, Isabel's travels are like in certain places. So it has a different place each time. And then we, as soon as we get it, we open up and read the letter. And then we grab our big map book. We have the maps book by Alexandra Mizalinska, I think is how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that giant book and it's really, really well done. So we will look it up in there and then supplement like the letter with that. And then like this last time, there have been, I think it was Scotland, the one that we did most recently.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a few places that were like underlined and that we picked out, and we did like virtual tours on Google Maps and stuff. And we just kind of like looked up some videos from the places. So it was really cool. We kind of took it to like a deeper level this time. So along with that, I was in charge of our Commonwealth, our co-op. I did a little class, I think it was 6 weeks, and We did like a geography around the world kind of a thing. So we took, I think, 5 different countries. And then the first week we did map making, mm-hmm. which was kind of cool. So, and we made these little passports that we could use. But I've also, because my kiddo wasn't in the class and then neither were your kids at that time. So I kind of like did it for our little Kezi co-op too. We would learn about these different countries and like do activities. So we did Mexico and we made Mexican
the Mexican
food.
Hat dance.
And then we taught them the Mexican hat dance, which the kids still sing and do to this day.
Totally.
Yeah. So we just like kind of went on a tour. So that was a fun way to do geography. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And then something that we do regularly just to kind of learn more about the United States is we play Scrambled States of America.
Oh, you were telling me about that one.
We like love playing the game even when we're not like technically learning about geography, but it's a fun one and it kind of helps you get familiar with how the U.S. is laid out and some fun little information about the states. I think it has like the nickname of the state and things like that. So mm-hmm. we like to do that.
We just got that 50 state book. That one's good. Yeah. That one, the illustrations are great. And you can kind of, they have all these little highlights from each state too. So you should take that with you.
Yeah.
And look at the 50 states. Because we've loved it.
That's really cool.
So what else?
And then, I mean, other than our maps book and that's pretty much like the only things we do for geography. We also have the book list from Beautiful Feet Books. They have these picture book series called All Around the World. Mm-hmm. And I think they have like more of a curriculum that goes with it with like activities and things, but I've just used their book lists and there's just like stories about different parts of the world in picture book. So I know for Japan they do like Ping and
That's on my book list too.
A couple of, maybe it's China.
There's something Min Mississippi. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. We've done those two by Hauling and Sea Hauling.
Yes.
Yeah. We've done Men of the Mississippi and Paddle to the Sea. Name. So those are kind of cool for like mapping different areas. We've really enjoyed those too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We just kind of like mix it up.
Yeah.
Whatever books I get from the library at that time, I kind of read those, but
yeah.
What do you guys do?
So we're doing Paddle to the Sea. I feel like we've been doing Paddle to the Sea for like ever.
It took us a long time to get through that one too.
It's a slow moving one for my kids, but the more activities we do with it, the more they're into it. So
what kind of activities have you done?
So I found some stuff on Pinterest of like how people were using the book and like different activities that they had found to use with it. So like with each chapter, I try to do some little things like based on the chapter. So like we like started just like I think you did too, where you make the map.
Oh yeah.
And then like some little paper canoes so you can kind of like track along with the book where they're going, like That's their cool. route. And then like soap bars, they like carved them into canoes, which
was
fun.
Good idea.
So I mean, these are all like little things that they can be doing while I'm reading. Right. So that makes it a little bit easier for them to listen longer too.
Mm-hmm.
And then it talks a lot about like the Great Lakes at one point. So they were able to draw some of the Great Lakes and look at those like on a big map, which was fun. And they've done where they make the Canadian and American flags.
Oh, wow. That's a good
so
idea.
So little things like that, I feel like make it more fun for them. But
You're so good at like the activities. That's why I like
it's the only
the
way.
I'm like, we can read a book. We'll do an activity.
Some days it's just reading, but like other times when I'm on it, I feel like it makes us, we can usually get an extra chapter in.
Yeah, that's so smart.
So that's kind of what we do for the most part for geography. And I do put it in a loop, so then we kind of like loop through a couple of different things for. All right, I have one more question.
I think I know what it is.
What are you obsessing over?
So, again, it's a book.
I know, I keep going back and forth. Like, should I just keep sharing books? But that's really
I
the
know.
Only thing that
no, that's what
I have
going
to
on right
say.
Now.
I don't know. I love I'm loving my Audible account, and so I'm just cruising through all these books. So I have really nothing else to say except for books.
Sadly, it's another book, but it's really, really, really good.
What book are you reading?
It's called Unbroken.
Oh, okay. You told me about this one.
Yeah, it's World War II. It's set in World War II, but it's actually the story of this man's life. And, like, it takes you kind of through his childhood, and then he ends up becoming a great runner and goes to the Olympics, and then the war begins. And it's, I'm not going to do any spoilers, but it's, like, this crazy account of his experiences, and he just doesn't give up, like, the craziest things happen to him, and most people will be like, just take me, like, I don't even care anymore, right. This isn't worth it, but he just... He's so, like...
Just perseveres.
Yeah. And he just has, like, a great attitude about everything that happens. And so...
This is a true story.
This is a true story. And it's also been made into a movie. I guess it was, like, released in 2014. And Angelina Jolie is the director. I haven't watched the movie yet because I'm a stickler for finishing the book before I see the movie. But I don't remember hearing anything about it, but it looks really good. So I'm excited to watch that.
I love when there's a movie to follow it up with. Not that they're ever as good, but...
Well, I can't shut up about the book to my husband. And so he's listened to parts of the book, but I'm excited to watch the movie with him.
Yeah.
And what about you? What are you obsessing over?
A book that I made you read because I was so obsessed. It's like, this really is good. The greatest book ever. You have to read it right now.
I loved it.
It's called The Giver of Stars, and I just thought it was amazing, all of it, start to finish. It was. It's, like, based in Kentucky in the early 1900s.
I believe so.
Yeah, and so my husband grew up in Kentucky, so I got to keep, like, fact-checking, like, did you know this about Kentucky? So, and it's about these four women who become, like, horseback librarians to deliver books to, like, some of these people that live, like, in more rural communities in the mountains. And so, I don't know, it's just a great storyline. And I loved the writing. I loved all of it. So,
well, I think you compared it, like, to Little Women.
Yes.
And, like, that's what I felt, too. Did you feel like that? The camaraderie of, like, the girls, like, reminded me of the sisters from Little Women. So,
I loved it.
Me, too.
Marge was my favorite character. She was amazing. Like, I want to be her real life best friend.
So, the old mountain woman.
It's a good one if you're looking for a good book.
Yeah.
So
very good. All right. Next time we can't talk about books, even though
I'm gonna try to diversify myself and find something else exciting. All right. That's it.
Until next time.
Bye.